The Asian Century. Rapid catch-up growth in Asia will bring about a historic shift in the center of gravity of the world economy. Since 1800, the North Atlantic economies have been the world's dominant economies and political powers. The cataclysms of World War I, the Great Depression, and World War II did not shake the dominance of the North Atlantic economies, though they did shift the balance of geopolitical influence away from Europe, especially the British Empire, to the United States. Now, after many centuries, the unquestioned economic and geopolitical dominance of the North Atlantic will end. The American century will end sometime in the second quarter of the 21st century, when Asia becomes the center of gravity of the world economy, in the sense of producing more than half of the world's income. The end of the American century will not be the result of any collapse of America's well-being, but rather the rise of Asia's economic power. In the long haul, it is natural that Asia should be the center of gravity of the world economy, since it is the center of gravity of the global population. In 1820, Asia constituted perhaps 56% of the world economy. With the onset of industrialization in Europe and North America, Asia's share declined to 28% by 1900. With Asia's turmoil between 1900 and 1970, the share declined further, to reach a low point of 18% of the world's output in 1950. Then began the Great Convergence. Asia's share of world income recovered to 23% in 1970 and to 38% by 2000. According to the convergence scenario, Asia's share of global income would rise to around 49% by 2025 and to around 54% by 2050. History has shown that profound geopolitical frictions, even bloodshed, can accompany the changing fortunes of leading powers. The rise of Germany and Japan in the early 20th century gave rise to lethal rivalries and armaments races with the leading powers Great Britain and the United States. Geopolitical jealousies flared. Militarists and demagogues in Germany and Japan argued that their place in the sun was being blocked by the United Kingdom and the United States, and that war was the only solution. And in the leading countries, politicians often took provocative steps, for example, the harsh terms after World War I against Germany, which ended up fanning the flames. In our day, America's continued assertions of preeminence in global power could cause dangerous frictions with China, India, and other rising regional powers. And if America's assertions of power are again carried to unrealistic extremes, as in the unprovoked war in Iraq, the regional and global reactions are likely to be swift and severe. The belief among U.S. neoconservatives that the United States is the world's sole superpower and can therefore have its way is passé, and will become even less true in the coming decades. Such unrealistic views would no doubt trigger similarly unrealistic nationalism within China and India. Power is already diffusing widely in the 21st century. A new kind of global politics must take shape, built not on U.S. or Chinese preeminence, but on global cooperation across regions. Despite the reveries and fantasies of some, the age of empire is over, and certainly the age of a U.S. empire. We are now in the age of convergence. The Urban Century. The economic shift from the North Atlantic to the Pacific and Indian Oceans is not the only fundamental change ahead. For the first time in human history, most of the world's population will live in urban centers rather than villages. From the origin of the species through the birth of agriculture and right up to 2007, most of the world's people have been residents of rural communities rather than towns and cities. In prehistory, the world was, of course, entirely rural. Cities arose with the end of the last ice age and the rise of agriculture some 10,000 years ago. The essence of city life is a non-agricultural community that obtains most of its food by trading with the countryside, or that extracts food from the countryside in a coercive manner, taxation, slaveholding, tribute, or the like. When agricultural productivity is low, so that the typical farm family basically feeds itself with only a small surplus to trade with urban dwellers, most of the population must be engaged in food production in order to subsist. It is only when agricultural productivity is very high, so that a farm family can feed many urban residents, that a significant share of the population can reside in urban areas and be engaged in manufacturing and services. Some manufacturing and services can take place in rural areas as well, but in general, such activities benefit from the density of urban life. Thus, rurality is largely but not entirely synonymous with agriculture, and urbanism is largely but not entirely synonymous with manufacturing and services. Thus, until the rise of agricultural productivity in the 18th century in the North Atlantic, England, Holland, Flanders, almost all regions of the world at all times were 90% or more rural, with a mere sliver of the population living in the cities.